This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. Here in the city of New Orleans yesterday, authorities had a big press conference to announce that they've arrested 71 drug dealers in the last 5 days. They called this sting Operation Summer Heat. And they said they still have another 50 plus that they're going after. They're trying to round up, and they know who they are, and they're looking for them.
I'm sorry, isn't that the new scratch-off game from the Louisiana Lottery, Operation Summer Heat? That's a coincidence.
Yeah, New Orleans police arrested 71 drug dealers in 5 days last week as part of Operation Summer Heat. That was announced by our mayor, LaToya, the Destroyer, Cantrell, or LaTweeta. Cantrell, because she likes to tweet so much.
Yes.
And the superintendent of the New Orleans Police Department, Michael Harrison.
Hashtag city of yes?
Yeah, she says it all the time in her tweets. And I know, I mean, our biggest problem in this city is people shooting people every day. And we're one of the few places on the planet where that happens. Yet, I think it's safe to say that people who are selling dope on street corners, usually when you got drug dealers selling drugs, that there's usually gunplay attached to that behavior as well. And so again, they got 71. They're looking. They got another 50-something other people that they've named, and they're going after, and they're looking for. But they just went around the streets of New Orleans, and they had undercover cops. They had cops dressed like drug users and drug buyers who would go up to these mostly guys. Although I saw in the mugshots, I saw a couple of women. And you know, there are some people that said, oh, really, this is what you do, NOPD? You know, you take the poorest neighborhoods, and these people just trying to make a living, you know, they have a tough time finding jobs, and this is who you're busting. Well, yeah, I mean, you can't be selling dope on the street. Yeah, there's 54 warrants that remain outstanding. So they got a total of 125. 71 in custody, 54 outstanding. And the police chief, Michael Harrison, said, we heard your complaints and we did something about it. The summer months are some of the most violent in New Orleans. Despite an uptick in gun violence in recent weeks, you know, including that mass shooting that where 10 people got shot, 3 people got killed a couple of weeks ago on South Claiborne Avenue in the parking lot of the daiquiri shop and the restaurant Chicken and Watermelon, which, by the way, they still haven't arrested those two guys. I think they have a good idea who it is. They just haven't been able to catch them yet. You know, if you've ever watched that show, The First 48, I mentioned it not that long ago, Brewster. It's called The First 48. And, you know, that show started in Miami. It was based around the Miami Police Department. And it's pretty cool. The show's pretty cool. It's on the A&E network. And the show starts where there's a body found. And then all of a sudden, the detective gets a phone call. He could be at home with his kids eating dinner. He could be, you know, playing ball, whatever the case may be. He has to stop everything. And goes right to the scene where the body is. And then the clock starts ticking down from 48 hours in the right-hand corner. Because if police do not apprehend someone, if they don't catch someone in the first 48 hours after a murder, then the chances of them finding them go down a lot, like 50%. And so it's a very interesting show. Well, New Orleans is one of the police departments that is featured now in the first 48 hours.
Now, how's that different from the other show that you watch where it's, what's the show called where they just follow a police department around and they cut back and forth to them? Police Live or PD Live?
Live PD.
Live PD.
Yeah, that thing.
So that's different.
That thing is taking over the world. I don't really watch that. Mm. That's
the one where they were up in Slidell.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago,
they're
right?
In different parts of the country, and they're still in Slidell. We had the host of that guy on our show, Dan Abrams. Mm. He does a good job. And they, that's on Friday and Saturday nights, and they do that about 3 or 4 hours each of those nights, and they just go around the country, and then they replay it during the day. That show is taking over that network. But the first 48, it's not live.
Hmm.
So everything's recorded. One of the coolest first 48 hours they ever did was on the Bourbon Street shooting from a few years ago, where they got the little Asian guy. I happen to know one of the New Orleans cops who was featured on that episode of the first 48. And it showed them figuring it out, looking at the dude's Facebook page, and they're going to find out. And they had to go over to the West Bank because one of the guys was being held in Gretna. And it's wild, you know, after living here for so long, you know, watching the homicide detectives do their jobs on television. You know, that's some job. You know, someone gets shot, killed, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call. And you're the first one to show up there, whether the body's laying inside of a house or outside of a house. They're the first ones that show up, and they just start looking around, and they got to figure out what happened. And they got to put all everything together, and they got to figure out what happened. And fascinating work, fascinating stuff. So, but they here in New Orleans, you know, ever since I've lived here over a decade now. Every high-profile shooting, every mass shooting, every shooting that's got a lot of press, a lot of publicity, they've always seemed to make an arrest. They've always seemed to get their perps, to get their criminals. So when this happened a few weeks ago outside of Chicken and Watermelon up there on Claiborne Avenue, I'm thinking to myself, and I said on the show, there's no doubt that they're gonna catch these guys. They haven't caught them yet. And now it's going on 3 weeks, something like that, right around there, and not good. They found the getaway car in Holly Grove. They just haven't they haven't apprehended the shooters from that night there on Claiborne Avenue. And I'm hoping they catch those guys soon. But this was a fairly big deal for the New Orleans cops yesterday when the mayor and the police chief and the people who are just under them all get up there behind the podium and they say, we got an announcement to make. We just took 71 drug dealers off the street and we've got warrants for 54 others. Oh, and you could take 125. And they said they were selling everything from heroin, smack, junk, garbage, brown sugar, yum yum, just one taste, to crack. They took all selling crack and smack.
It's like a party at your house.
No, not my house. Since June 1st, there have been, that they know about, 67 shootings in 74 days. I think there's been a little bit more than that. And they said there wasn't nearly that many shootings in the few months leading up to June 1st. And again, when you bust these drug dealers on the street selling the hard drugs, well, there's usually guns involved, and they're usually involved in other things, because wherever there's a drug dealer in the city of New Orleans, there's probably someone that wants their drugs and wants their money, and usually guns are involved and things like that. So, but again, that's good news. But we're waiting, we're still waiting for the real big news to find out for the announcement. Because when they had that press conference yesterday, I'm thinking, did they get the chicken and watermelon shooters? Did they get them? Not yet. All right, coming up on the show, In God We Trust signs must now be displayed in all Florida schools. What do you think about that? I have no issue with that, though there are some that have a big issue with that because of the whole separation of church and state thing. We're going to get into that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So that woman, Omarosa, is making headlines. She was the woman who first became famous on then-television host Donald Trump's reality TV show, The Apprentice. She was on that. And then when Donald Trump was elected president, he gave her a gig, a job as a White House aide. And she was fired from that job. And here's what's interesting. There was a lot of news going on about this over the last couple of days. When she was fired by General Kelly, the chief of the White House, She recorded it. And I think, I don't know where she was, but she was in some place in the White House where, how is she recording her getting fired? I mean, this is important stuff. Well, she's not that important, but when the chief of staff of the White House fires people in the White House, do you think he knows that he's being recorded doing that?
Right. You can't even take flash photography in some areas of the Smithsonian Museum. She's recording in the White House.
So, and Trump, he always said he liked her, but now he's calling her wacky Omarosa. Right. And
here's Trump calling her the day after she was fired.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So, In God We Trust, those signs must now be displayed in all Florida schools. Making pretty big news. I have no issue with this, although there are some people that do. Well, whether they're atheists or the whole separation of church and state issue in the United States of America. Starting this week, public schools in the state of Florida will be required to display signs with the official state motto, In God We Trust. How about that? The phrase will be posted in conspicuous places after being endorsed, listen to this, by Democratic Representative Kimberly Daniels, who is the leader of a Christian ministry. So a Democrat led the way here with the In God We Trust. You would just expect, you would assume, if you held a gun to my head and said, what political party do you think the person who's leading, let's put In God We Trust in every public school in the state of Florida. If you held a gun to my head, I'd say, I guess Republican. I probably wouldn't have a head. And that's something. And there are some people that are really happy about that. And then there are some people that aren't. But it is the official state motto of the state of Florida. He's all the videos you see coming out of Florida on YouTube. I mean, there's no lunacy or lunatic in their official state motto. I would have guessed one of those words would have been in there. Quote, this motto is inscribed on the halls of this great capital and inked on our currency, and it should be displayed so that our children will be exposed and educated on this great motto, which is a part of this country's foundation, she told the House committee members while pushing the bill. Something so great should not be hidden. I think that's pretty cool. And I'm sure there's going to be some people that try to get this removed. Because every time there's an issue with God, in God we trust, anything
See,
like that, usually there's people that start screaming about the separation of church and state.
This might be the height of irony. This might be the height of irony. Stay with me here.
How so?
This is in the state of Florida, where the official motto is "In God We Trust." That the state of Florida is the only state that has that as their official motto. However, for example, the state of Ohio. I mean, not all the only one that has those words is Florida, but others have variations, or at least the God mentioned in Ohio. With God, all things are possible. In South Dakota, under God, the people rule. There are two more here. There's one more here. In Arizona, Ditat Deus, God enriches. But this is the height of irony in Florida, and I'll tell you why. Where the state motto is "In God We Trust," located in Destin, Florida, and in Pensacola, Florida, the fine establishments, McGuire's Irish Pub. You know what McGuire's Irish Pub is famous for?
What's that?
You go there, you take a dollar bill, and you write your name on it, and you staple it to the ceiling, the wall, everywhere. There are thousands upon thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollar bills hanging on. Mrs. Brewster and I have been to the one in Pensacola, I believe. So how ironic is that?
Well,
you have tens of thousands of pieces of paper. They happen to be currency, but they say "In God We Trust."
Yeah.
Stapled to two establishments in Florida.
Well,
are you not blown away by that?
That's pretty cool. The people are just doing their part for putting the state motto up in that particular establishment. While "In God We Trust" has been part of Florida's state seal since 1868 and on the state flag since 1900, it has only been the state motto for 12 years. It's only been their state motto since 2006. The previous motto was "In God Is Our Trust." So they changed it in 2006 from "In God Is Our Trust" to "In God We Trust." I like it. You know, and if people don't like it or whatever the case may be, so what? Who cares? Who cares if you don't like something?
Well, but what happens if your child attends public school and you happen to be of the Muslim persuasion?
Well, there we go. I'm sure if you listen to this show tomorrow or if you listen to this show soon, we're probably going to be doing a follow-up story about how people are complaining in the state of Florida. Again, whether they're of a different faith, no faith at all, if they're an atheist, or they think. Now, when it comes to separation of church and state, isn't that just on the federal level? This is the state level.
That's why I kind of left me scratching my head, because school systems, you know, I don't know. I'm waffling here because I'm not sure.
Well, there's a lot of people that think, there's the problem with a lot of the kids these days is because we've taken God out of schools.
I guess it is thought to be on the federal level, perhaps exclusively because of its connection to the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law, et cetera, et cetera.
How about that? Florida making news, and there was a few surprises in that story. Go figure. A Democratic. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Yesterday on the show, we told you the story, and we played you the audio of the former airline worker who used to be a baggage handler for an airline, and he worked out of Seattle, and he just snapped. He lost it, and he stole one of the planes, and he was talking to the people on the ground, and then he was doing some flips and he was doing all kinds of stuff. By the way, and then he crashed the plane and killed himself. And we played the audio for you on the show yesterday. We talked about it. There are airline experts that are just blown away by what he was able to do. And he said, well, I learned by playing video games.
Right.
Because they have some pretty realistic video games that you can play when it comes to flying airplanes.
They do. They have, I'm not really into it, but Flight Simulator. And apparently, I don't know if that's what he was playing, but apparently it's enough that you could sit in the cockpit and know what those dozens and dozens of things do.
Isn't that something? And yeah, because airline experts were saying they couldn't believe this guy, especially when they saw the highlights of him doing the flips,
right.
and he was doing all kinds of stuff.
I guess I don't mean this facetiously given the outcome, but the one thing he was not adept at, not skilled at, was landing. he actually said that.
Yeah, well, that's not the only crazy plane story. Hours after domestic violence arrest, Utah man crashes stolen plane into his own home where his wife was staying. He died, and his name's Dwayne Yaud. Luckily, his wife and his child who were in the house, his son, are okay. But, boy, oh, boy, what's going on with airplane stories? Coming up next, we'll look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at history, today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
August 14th. It was today in 2003.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
A blackout hits the Northeast.
I recall that.
In the United States. A major outage knocked out power across the eastern United States and parts of Canada. Wow, this is an international blackout. Beginning at 4:10 Eastern time in the afternoon, 21 power plants shut down in just 3 minutes. 50 million people were affected, including residents of New York, Ohio, Michigan, as well as Toronto and Ottawa, or as they call it up there, Ottawa, Canada. Although power companies were able to resume some service in as little as 2 hours, power remained off in other places for more than a day. Yeah, the outage stopped trains and elevators and disrupted everything from cellular telephone service to operations at hospitals, traffic at airports. Yeah, there were some people in New York City that were stuck on subways for more than 2 hours. Talk about a nightmare. Mm. Trapped on a New York City subway for more than 2 hours. And it's August. Man, you know what that must have smelled like, some of those subway cars? So that just doesn't happen around here. Because we see around here, you know, areas lose power fairly frequently around here. You'll hear, hey, power went out in this part of Jefferson Parish, and they expect it back in 5 hours. August 14th. It was today in 1980.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
A massive labor strike hits the country of Poland. Royster, how do you pronounce that town, that city in Poland? It's spelled G-D-A-N-S-K.
Gdansk.
Workers in Gdansk, Poland.
I know that because there's a tremendous David Gilmour of Pink Floyd performance that you can purchase. And it's David Gilmour live at Gdansk.
Well, Gdansk.
And that may not even be right.
Gdansk should purchase another volume. Another vowel. Workers in Gdansk, Poland, seized the Lenin shipyard and demand pay raises and the right to form a union free from communist control. The massive strike also saw the rise of prominence to labor leader Lech Walesa, who would be a key figure in bringing an end to communist rule in Poland.
Yes.
How about that, Lech Walesa? Pretty cool.
Solidarność, or solidarity.
Hmm. August 14th. It was today in 1994.
Why today doesn't suck.
The terrorist known as Carlos the Jackal is captured. Terrorist Ilich Ramirez Sanchez, long known as Carlos the Jackal, is captured in the Sudan by French intelligence agents. Since there was no extradition treaty with Sudan, the French agents sedated the kidnapped Jackal. The Sudanese government, claiming that it had assisted in the arrest, requested that the United States remove their country from its list of nations that sponsor terrorism. Pretty cool nickname, though, huh?
Carlos the Jackal?
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, if you're going to get a nickname. Hey, we got a birthday today.
Yes, I know, love the celebrity like birthdays.
Very talented guy was born today in 1945.
Hmm.
Steve Martin.
Hmm.
Why today doesn't suck.
Boy, he's old.
I don't think people realize what a fantastic banjo player and guitar player he is. Besides being a funny comedian and a movie
writer,
star.
And a writer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, guy did it all, man. Steve Martin. And you just saw him recently.
Yes. That show is what is it? It's a night that you'll forget the rest of your lives or something like that. Steve Martin and Martin Short. And yes, we saw that at the Sanger Theater, but it's now on Netflix.
When I think
of, check that out.
When I think of Steve Martin, the first thing to this day that pops into my mind, when I was a little kid, I had his album. It's where he did King Tut.
Right.
And I don't know if you could do that today. I don't know if they could get away if that'd be too politically incorrect.
Why?
King Tut.
Oh, no. That's, no. What's so bad about that?
Some Egyptians might be offended by that. And he used to have the arrow through his head when he was singing.
Well, and I told you I had seen him with my sister and her husband back in the day. It was very close to 40 years to the day in between seeing Steve Martin live.
Hmm. Some career.
Also, born on this date, friend of the show, born on this date, August 14, 1941.
Why today doesn't suck.
David Crosby.
Yeah, happy birthday.
He didn't... I don't know. An interview with him aired on this show. Does that make him a friend of the show? Because he was kind of surly. It started out okay,
and I didn't ask. I don't think I asked him anything, but then
it went gunny sack pretty quickly to where the answer to a lengthy question was yes.
Yeah,
and it was like,
I remember the question. I said, didn't you record one of your albums here in New Orleans? Which he did. And,
right.
And he said, oh, yeah.
That's not the question. It wasn't, oh, yeah. It was what I said. It was, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It was not, oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask him, did he have a good time in the city? Didn't really get to that point. August 14th. It was today in 1985.
Why today doesn't suck.
Rock and roll fans don't like this because it was today when Michael Jackson took control of the Beatles publishing rights.
Hmm.
Now, doesn't his family still own a bunch of that?
I think Paul has gotten all of it back.
And that was after he died.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess
if I'm not mistaken, Paul has gotten what remaining songs that Michael Jackson owned the rights to. I think it's gone back to Paul.
Yeah, because I remember, and Paul McCartney wasn't happy about that when that happened.
No.
Because he thought they were friends. They did that song in that video together.
Sure.
What was that?
Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony and Ivory. That's the one they did. And then after that...
A totally forgettable song.
Yeah, they thought they were friends, or at least Paul McCartney did. And then after that is when Michael Jackson decided to write a check to buy the publishing rights to all the Beatles songs. And then you started seeing Beatles songs on television commercials and things like that. I was like, nah, what are you doing, man? August 14th. It was today in 1935.
Why today doesn't suck.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt signs the Social Security Act. Pretty controversial. There's still a lot of people.
To this day.
Well, yeah. I mean, me being a libertarian politically, that's not something the libertarians believe in, the Social Security Act. Today in 1935, FDR, the president, signs into law the Social Security Act. It was a big deal. They said, yeah, we'll take some money. We'll stash it away for you. And then when you get old, and you can have it. Well, why can't we save our own money?
Right. Because look what they've done with it for the most part.
Mm.
It was on this date in August 14th, 1974.
Why today doesn't suck.
Neil Peart, and he calls himself Peart. So I'm going to go with Peart and not Peart and not Pert. Rush drummer, Neil Peart. He calls himself Peart.
I always heard Peart.
Anyway, Neil Peart made his live debut as Rush's drummer at a concert at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh. Take a guess as to which two bands Rush was opening up for that date in 1974. Neil Peart replacing original Rush drummer John Rutsey, who has since died of complications from diabetes, sadly.
Yeah, and I will say this. I don't think you're going to find very many Rush fans that say, boy, I miss that John Rutsey.
No. When you think of Rush in 1974, you think of them wearing like the almost taffeta, rock star god sort of outfits. Not quite Led Zeppelin, but very tissue paper like and just.
Well, they've said in interviews that I've seen over the years, especially Geddy Lee, he said, we didn't know how to dress when came out. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. By the way, that first Rush album, the only Rush album without Neil
Peart. I'm going to go with Peart. I just am.
It's a good album. It's got Working Man on it. It's a good album.
I thought Working Man was John Rutsey. Are you sure about that?
Yeah. The first Rush album without, the only Rush album without the great Neil. Because Neil Peart not only played drums, he wrote all the lyrics.
Right. I'm going with Peart, but that's okay.
That wasn't the Kiss tour, was it?
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. One of these bands had a song that you would not even imagine that was them. Well, this will give it away. The other one, you want me to just tell you?
Yeah.
They opened for Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
How about that?
Yeah. And I'm going to guess the headliner was Uriah Heep.
And the great trivia about Manfred Mann's Earth Band?
Yes.
The only number one song Bruce Springsteen ever had that he wrote.
That he didn't record.
Yeah.
Right.
And he wrote
it. He recorded it, but it was not his recording.
I like his version of it, but the Manfred Mann version went to number one, and that's a good trivia question.
I like the Manfred Mann version only when they play the entire full-length version, the album version. I don't like the radio edit.
August 14th. It was today in 1971.
Why today doesn't suck.
Bob Gibson threw his first no-hitter. 1971, August 14th, St. Louis Cardinals ace Bob Gibson throws the first no-hitter of his storied career. He was something. He had one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived.
Hmm.
And finally, it was today, August 14th, in 1945.
Why today doesn't suck.
Japan's surrender in World War II was finally made public.
Making it VJ Day.
Yeah, but still there were Japanese soldiers who didn't believe it, and they stayed in the woods for many years.
Right, there was that one guy on Gilligan's Island who was not aware the war was over.
Yeah. Hey, pal, come on, we're friends now. And that's why, historically, August 14th.
Is the segment we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
That's what it is. Hey, coming up next...
Trying to be...
A guy in a game show, the Pyramid Game Show,
mm-hmm.
He made a pretty big mistake.
A familiar mistake, you might say.
Yeah, stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So just like we've seen a lot of TV shows come back, Murphy Brown is coming back.
Yeah, Magnum P.I. is coming back. They're doing the FBI, which was... with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. back in the day, back in the mid to late 60s, I guess.
And Roseanne came back, and it's going to remain back, although they're calling it the Conners because she's not going to be on it anymore. They even brought back some game shows, including the $100,000 Pyramid. I remember that when I was a kid.
Sure. I love that show with Dick Clark.
Yeah, and now the new $100,000 Pyramid, there was a contestant on there the other night who got a little bit confused.
A guy named Evan Kaufman was up, I think, to win like 50 grand, and yeah, he didn't do too well.
Evan and Tim for $50,000. Go.
Bin Laden. Barack Obama's.
What?
So he had to come up with the first name?
I guess. So
the answer would have been Osama?
Right. So it's the thing turns over and it says Obama's. So all he had to do was say Barack, Michelle, Malia, what's the other one?
Sasha.
Yeah. Courtney. Is that one of them? But of course, you know where we're going with this.
And may God bless the United States of America.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead. It was a U.S.-led strategic, Osama bin Laden is dead.
Confusing Osama's name with Obama?
It's kind of easy to do.
Osama is dead.
Obama is dead.
Details that have never before been heard about how Obama was killed.
First, we had heard through the media that a missile attack had killed Obama.
We're hearing that a U.S. helicopter actually went down near the attack where Obama was killed.
It started when Obama took office. He directed the head of the CIA to make killing Obama their number one priority.
The U.S. went in, destroyed that helicopter. They didn't want the enemy getting to it. But Osama and three other people,
they got a possible lead on where Obama might be hiding.
After decades of searching and a worldwide manhunt, federal agents discovered Obama's secret location.
American operatives had learned Obama that bin Laden was hiding out.
Osama was hiding out.
The intelligence said Obama was hiding in a compound deep inside Pakistan.
You know, Obama, I mean, he was probably an old man.
You're talking about Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did I say Obama or Osama?
So emotional to find out that, in fact, Osama bin Laden had been caught.
Coming to Washington, D.C. on the day that, you know, they take Obama out. I mean, Osama.
It was quite a weekend, wasn't it? Besides that, Obama finally caught last night.
Oh my gosh, right. What did you just say?
Now, Fox, we understand our sister station are saying that Osama was buried at sea at 2 a.m. That would be 7 in the morning in the UK, that Osama was buried at sea.
Ladies and gentlemen, Obama's dead. I don't care. What did I say? Osama bin Laden is dead. I don't care how he died.
Osama Obama. Thanks for clarifying all that confusion.
So how are you going to blame Evan Kaufman if all of these professional journalists, all of these professional news people were confusing the names Obama and Osama after America killed Osama bin Laden?
Huh? Just when you think we've run out of reasons to play that, that comes along.
Somebody does it again. Yeah. Hey, coming up next, the Stand Your Ground law is in the news again. It's making all kinds of national news. We're going to talk about that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. The Stand Your Ground law is making national headlines again. Perhaps you saw the video. It happened last month on July 19th at a gas station parking lot in Florida, Clearwater, Florida. This guy is arguing with a woman who's in her car. And she's parked in a handicapped parking space, but she's not handicapped. And that's why the guy was arguing with her. Her husband comes out of the store, sees the guy arguing with his wife, and then pushes the guy pretty hard, pushes him with both hands, and the guy goes to the ground. When the guy's on the ground, he then pulls a gun, shoots one time, and kills the man who pushed him to the ground. That happened July 19th. It's almost a full month. And yesterday, they finally arrested the man who shot him, charging him with manslaughter. Now, I'll be honest with you. The reason why it took so long for them to arrest him and charge him with manslaughter, they were saying that he was protected by the Stand Your Ground laws. I mean, this guy comes out of the store and he pretty violently pushes him with two hands, pushes him to the ground. And that's when the guy then on the ground pulled his gun out, fired one shot. The guy staggered. It's all on video. It's gone everywhere, the video. The guy staggers back into the store where he drops and dies right in front of his son. So they're saying to hell with the Stand Your Ground law here. And they arrested the shooter. His name is Michael Draca. They arrested Michael Draca yesterday, finally, and they charged him with manslaughter. I got to be honest with you. After seeing this video, this is a tough one. I don't know if I would charge this guy with manslaughter. He was violently pushed to the ground. When he pulls the gun out and points it at the guy, that's when the guy stopped and started turning around to walk away. But at that point, that's when Michael Draca fired one shot into the chest of the man. The man who died, Marcus McLaughlin. I mean, do you have the right to shoot someone if he comes out of a store and violently pushes you on the ground? You don't know if he's going to then kick you or then walk towards you while you're on the ground and hit you. Or this is a tough one.
It's just, to me, it's awfully close to your, what I refer to your perfect world governed by street justice, where you don't really have a police force. You just, everyone, it's like the Wild Wild West. I think that's what you're actually pining for.
Well, Brewster, imagine.
Everybody's got a six on their side and ask questions later.
Well, just imagine if this was you. Let's just say this was you.
Well, but you can't arguing
with this woman that she shouldn't be in the handicapped parking space because she doesn't have a handicap.
Oh, that's all irrelevant. That's all irrelevant.
No, because that's why her husband came out of the car and pushed him.
You've been pushed. That's the only thing right now. That's the only fact that matters.
Okay.
All right, you've been pushed. So you could say, well, he may start to shoot lasers out of his eyes and hurt me. Or you can't just keep saying all these what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. You know, we give our police force, our police that govern us, we give them deadly force. I'm uneasy with deadly force being used in every situation. I got pushed to the ground. Well, what may happen? Well, he may pull out a machete and cut my head off. I mean,
it looked like.
You really need deadly force in that situation?
Well, that's the question. After he violently pushed the man to the ground, he stood there for, and then the guy pulls the gun out. And when the guy pulled the gun out from the ground and pointed at him, that's when the pusher stopped. And then it looked like he was backing off and was turning to walk back into the store. And that's when the guy shot him again.
And how much tactical, this gun owner, how much tactical training did he have? And I don't mean shooting at paper targets. I mean, how much real world scenario experience like police officers have where you have 1 second to make a decision that is life or death?
We don't know that.
Mm.
I mean, the question is
that's
this
a scary world?
Is this guy responsibly exercising his Second Amendment right? He was pushed to the ground.
He doesn't give him the right to deadly force.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Shoot him in the leg? Brewster, you know, and a cop will tell you this. And not anytime you shoot someone, you shoot to kill.
That is not what human
because
non police officers are, that is not what No.
What if the pusher had a gun on him and the guy who just
what
got pushed
lasers
is on
came
the ground?
Out, what if lasers came out of his eyeballs?
That's not the question. What, I mean, if he shoots him in the leg, then the guy could just pull out a gun and shoot him while he's laying there on the ground. I got to be honest with you. When this first happened on July 19th and I saw this video, I didn't have a problem with police not arresting him. The guy got violently pushed to the ground. Now, I don't think I would have done the same thing. But he pulled out his gun, fired one shot. This case is going to get a ton of publicity. It's going to get a ton of press time. Again, it happened in Clearwater, Florida at a gas station. The Stand Your Ground law kept him out of jail for the first 3 weeks after this happened. But now they decided, after watching the video over and over again, no Stand Your Ground law. And they arrested him for manslaughter. And that's what they charged him with. A fascinating story. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. There was just an escape from a hospital, and it's made national news. Not that long ago, a senior in high school, a girl named Alyssa, she had a brain aneurysm, and she was rushed to the Mayo Clinic because her family, they lived in Minnesota. And the Mayo Clinic, by the way, is a renowned hospital. It's one of the best hospitals in the world. Well, after about 2 months in the hospital, Alyssa's parents, they wanted her out of there. They wanted to take her to another hospital. But every time they brought it up with the Mayo Clinic people, they said, "Well, no, your daughter can't leave the hospital because we're treating her and she can't leave." And her parents kept telling them, "Well, look, we've got other doctors we want to see, but she's been here 2 months. She's stabilized now. She's doing better. We want to take her out." They would not let her. They would not let the parents take their 18-year-old daughter, Alyssa, out of the hospital. So one night, the parents said her grandmother's coming to see her, but her grandmother has real bad hips and can't get out of the car. So could we just bring the car out front, and Alyssa will walk her down there so she could see her grandmother? And they said, okay. And so the father has got his daughter Alyssa in the wheelchair, and they're being followed by two nurses, because at this point, there were nurses watching this woman, this girl, around the clock, because they're thinking, the parents keep asking to take this girl out of the hospital, and we don't think she should be taken out of the hospital. Well, wouldn't you know, they get down to the front door, and the nurses are right there. But Alyssa's grandmother is not in the car. Alyssa's mother is in the car behind the driver's seat.
With the engine running.
In the driver's seat, yeah. And they opened the door. The father scurried Melissa into the car. And the nurses were screaming, "No, no." And the father pushed the nurses away, shut the door, and they were off. They took off. Well, as soon as they left, both of the parents' cell phones started ringing because, of course, the hospital has the parents' cell phone numbers. So the parents decided not to answer the cell phones, and they took off. And they drove for a while. While the Mayo Clinic, the hospital, they ended up calling law enforcement. And between the town's cops that the Mayo Clinic is in, the county cops, they had a few different agencies, a few different jurisdictions of police officers looking for them. Matter of fact, they drove a couple hours away and they checked into a hotel and the Mayo Clinic started pinging their cell phones. So they were getting close to their hotel. And the parents then hopped out of the hotel and they took off and they barely escaped the Mayo Clinic people again. And then they got them to another hospital. But this is, it's a story called Escape from the Mayo Clinic. The parents had to break their 18-year-old teenager out of that world-famous hospital. And it brings up several questions, Brewster.
Well, it sounds like kidnapping or being held without one's against one's will. She's 18. She's of age to make her own decision to stay at the Mayo Clinic or to leave.
Well,
how does the Mayo Clinic?
The Mayo Clinic told the different police agencies that this girl was kidnapped by her parents from the hospital,
where she was being held, presumably against her will, if they all agreed that she should leave. What was her opinion?
She wanted to go.
Because, she wanted
like
to
said,
go.
They had another doctor. She was stabilized at that place. Her brain aneurysm was stabilized. They wanted to take her out, bring her to another doctor. The Mayo Clinic said, uh-uh. They said, no, you're not doing it.
And they followed after him.
So now the cops are thinking that the parents kidnapped their own daughter from the Mayo Clinic.
I wonder if they said, the Mayo Clinic, follow that car!
While they were looking, the parents had to take the batteries out of their cell phones so they couldn't be pinged.
And they had to use burner phones, just like in the movies.
And, you know, they finally got their child away from the Mayo Clinic. And then the cops, after a couple of days dealing with this, the cops all agreed, wait a minute, Mayo Clinic,
mm-hmm.
the parents aren't the kidnappers here. Because then the parents finally got in touch with the cops from an undisclosed location and a friend of a friend's cell phone. And they said, look, we're on these strange cell phones because we don't want you to ping us and we got to get rid of them in 30 seconds. So here, no, our daughter had a brain aneurysm. She was in the hospital there for 2 months. She was stabilized. We wanted to bring her to our own doctors. They said no. Now, do you think Mayo Clinic, and the cops all agreed, they're like, wait a minute, she's 18, she's with her own parents, she's in medical care now, Mayo Clinic, back off. And they did. Do you think the Mayo Clinic did, again, this is one of the most renowned hospitals in the world. Why do you think they acted this way? Do you think, because every day you're in the hospital, obviously, the hospital is making more money.
Sure.
And after a couple of months, when the parents started asking the hospital, hey, we want to take our daughter home. We have other doctors. We have our own doctors. You've stabilized her. We appreciate the job you did, but we want to bring her to our own doctors and our own hospital.
We've given her plenty of these $12 aspirins.
When they said that, all of a sudden, there were two nurses that were watching their daughter around the clock. The mother or father couldn't visit the daughter without two nurses there at all times. Escape plan was something. How, the grandmother's downstairs in the car?
This is incredibly bizarre. I don't recall having heard a story with a hospital taking actions like this.
Evidently, this isn't the only time that this has happened. And there are other hospitals who have been accused of forcing patients to stay in there under the guise of, well, we know what's best for you. But what the patients are saying is they are running up the bill. And again, we're not talking about some hospital out in the woods here. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the Mayo Clinic. I mean, it's one of the best. So this is a bizarre story, and now there may be a lawsuit coming, and the girl is doing all right. She's with her family and with their own doctors, and her aneurysm has been stabilized, and she's doing all right. But Boy, who would have ever thought that parents would have to come up with some escape plan to get their kid out of a hospital?
Have you ever wondered what it would sound like if 500 guitar players were all playing AC/DC's Highway to Hell at once? Do you lay in bed at night thinking, I wonder what that would sound like?
If they were good guitar players, it would sound like a little bit of heaven, even though the name of the song is Highway to Hell.
We'll find out coming up
on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So, Brewster, you got a bunch of people playing an AC/DC song over there?
I've got 500 people, in fact. They do this every so often. I was trying to think what the song was a couple of years ago. They had hundreds, if not thousands, of guitar players playing, and I can't remember what the song was. But they had 500 people in Australia, oddly enough, getting together at a festival to try to set a new world record, and I'm assuming it's for the number of people playing any song, not just this song. It's Highway to Hell, and it's not too bad.
1, 2, 3!
Never know there's 50,000 people playing guitar.
Well, 500, actually.
Oh, 500.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah. Not 50,000. It's not, no. It's not too bad.
500 people playing guitar, and they're all right on,
well, they're
on
all,
time.
All,
on time.
All more or less in tune.
How many drummers?
Don't know, but Phil Rudd heard that and said, damn, that guy's good.
Yeah, nobody's ever going to, you're never going to hear in an argument, that drummer from AC/DC, he's the best drummer in rock and roll.
No.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up on the show. Good thing. Wait till you hear this story. This couple ended up stashing their car away instead of selling it. I'm going to tell you why. Coming up. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
We were talking moments ago about the song Highway to Hell, and we played a little snippet of 500 Australian guitar players playing that song together to try to break the world record. I have forgotten that when Billy Joel was here last year, he did a number of New Orleans songs, like 8 or 9 New Orleans-centric songs, but he had his roadie come out who had been with him for like 1,000 years, and his roadie sang lead on Highway to Hell, and they kicked ass. It was awesome.
Pretty wild, Billy Joel doing Highway to Hell.
And he did Brown Sugar and some other New Orleans songs. I love Billy Joel.
Am I missing something? I know what Brown Sugar has to do with New Orleans. What does Highway to Hell have to do with New Orleans?
Well, it doesn't. It's those two weren't related. I may have made that sound like they were related, but they weren't.
This is a great story. We mentioned a week or two ago how the 10 millionth Ford Mustang just rolled off the production line. The Ford Mustang was announced to the world at the World's Fair in 1964. Okay, now follow me on this one. They had television commercials for a couple of months before that. They never showed the vehicle in the television commercial. All they said was, coming this spring, the Ford Mustang. They never showed it. They just said, get ready. Get ready. Well, a couple of days before Lee Iacocca debuted that car at the World's Fair in 1964, there was a Ford dealership in the Midwest that did something I don't think they were supposed to do. They sold one. They sold it on April 15th, 1964, to a 22-year-old woman. She paid $3,400 for it. Mm. She said she was 22 at the time, and she felt like a rock star driving, because no one had ever seen one. The television commercials wouldn't show them. Just coming soon.
Right.
Well, she then got married, had four kids. And then they said, you know, we need another car for the kids and blah, 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 blah. She was going to sell it. The husband always liked the car and said, you know what? Let's store it in the garage. That'll be my retirement project.
Mm-hmm.
So the garage started filling up with stuff. He built an addition onto their garage so they could keep the Ford Mustang in the garage. So he finally retires. And he says, I'm going to fix this thing up. And he starts going on the internet, looking around. He's talking for parts and such, and he's talking to different people. And he meets some guy that said, I bought the first Ford Mustang. He said, well, when did you buy it? He said, I bought it April 16th, 1964. He said, slow down here. They still had the receipt. They bought theirs April 15th. A day before in 1964. Again, just a couple of days before the World Fair where Lee Iacocca...
In New York.
Yeah.
On April 17th, 1964.
Yeah. So they matched up the paperwork. He looked at his wife. He said, do you realize you bought the first Ford Mustang? The very first! So wouldn't you know... A car that she paid $3,400 for in 1964. Guess what it's worth today? Because he restored it. And again, he had to put all the original new parts in it. He couldn't modify it. You know, he couldn't update it. He just had to put the original parts in.
Right.
Guess what it's worth?
Well, I read ahead. Do you want me to say?
Depending on how good a shape it's in, anywhere from $350,000 to $450,000.
Right. Right. That's what I saw, $350,000.
Yeah, not bad for a $3,400 investment or just purchase. And the fact that he told her that he wanted to hold on to that car, because she was thinking, we can just sell this and we'll trade in and get a new car because we have all these kids. We need more room.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy, isn't that some story? And the guy finds out that his wife bought the very first Ford Mustang. And it's funny, the story I'm reading, I'm looking at a picture of them sitting with the car with their kids way back when, and they kept it in decent condition. And now, you know, if you're a guy who retired and you fixed it up and you figured all of this out, is that something you would want to sell or for $350,000, $450,000, or is that something you'd want to drive around? You wouldn't want to put a scratch in it. See, that's my only problem.
Yeah, I just want to look at it.
That's my only problem with having cars like that. I'm not the greatest driver in the world, but I'm not the worst. But it doesn't matter. You could. Most accidents happen because somebody else did something wrong. And then if you're taking care of a car like that, a vintage collector's item car, and somebody does something stupid and runs into it, then you're going to have a heart attack.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Just think of, like, Jay Leno's got, 200 or 300 cars and motorcycles stored in, I think, an airplane hangar.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
In California. And just think what his, I think he has State Farm, just think what his insurance bill is every month. To carry insurance on all those, but it's sure you'd want to drive it maybe just around the church parking lot and then put it back. You certainly wouldn't want to pull into. You mentioned the accidents. The number one cause of accidents is, and it's not. I don't mean aggressive driving or defensive. I don't mean that. The number one mechanical cause of accidents. Or the number one, let's put it like this, the number one procedure that you have to do, unless you're in Michigan, driving is the left turn. The left turn is the single most cause of accidents, and that's the truth. And if you drive like in Michigan, you never make a left turn in the state of Michigan. What you will do, like if you come, everything is like a little exit and then like a little mini clover leaf. So if you're coming up to 8 Mile Road, because every road in Michigan is some mile, 4 mile, 8 mile, 10 mile, and you want to turn left, you would actually exit and you'd make like a little do-si-do around and then continue on
to
the
left.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. We always attempt to try to learn something new on this show every day. So there are no left turns in Michigan?
There are very few. Very few left turns.
How about that? And what do you think? The very first Ford Mustang in 1964 cost $3,400. I mean, righteous bucks in 1964, but I mean, this woman had the money and she bought it, and then she got married.
And see, I have misspoke on this show because the Henry Ford Museum, which I've been to a few times in Dearborn, Michigan, which obviously has a very automobile-centric area, I have always said that they have the first Mustang that came off the line, serial number 0000001. That is not the case. They have the first convertible that came off the line for the 1965 model year.
How about that? And I can't do all of this, and I can't say what I just said without saying, if you want to buy a Ford Mustang, nobody sells more Fords around here than my man Ronnie Lamarck over there at Lamarck Ford. So, boy.
Maybe he could sell you one.
Yes! I would like a Mustang. I need something. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So, recently, Ole Miss University was told they had to get rid of the rebel, the old white guy, as their mascot. If you're familiar with Ole Miss University, you know, the old Whitey. I don't know what his name was, but they,
that's it. It's old Whitey.
But they were told, look, you gotta get rid of him. Even though their nickname will remain the Rebels, they had to get rid of the rebel. They had to get rid of the guy. Well, they just unveiled their new mascot, and it's a land shark. Yeah.
When I think Old Miss, I think land shark.
Land shark. And some people are giving them crap for it. They just did a poll, I guess, with Ole Miss fans. 90-something percent of the people hate it. And it's someone dressed in an Ole Miss uniform, and they have a shark's head. It's a land shark's head, and that's going to be patrolling the sidelines now at Ole Miss University football games. Out with the rebel, with the old white guy, in with the land shark, and that's where we're at.
Well, now apparently, let's see. Apparently, they, you're thinking of Colonel Reb.
Yes.
And you couldn't draw a more stereotypical Reb, Colonel Reb. Think Mark Twain, basically.
So I said old white guy. I think that.
Well, he was replaced in 2010 by Rebel the Black Bear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they did make some strides there.
Right. But they neglected to delete the word rebel, which I think is part of the perceived problem.
Yeah, they wanted the word rebel off of the mascot, although the name of the team is still the Rebels.
Right.
They're not changing to the Ole Miss Land Sharks. Wouldn't that be something?
Scratching my head.
Yeah, so are you fired up for that college football season? There you go. So when you see the old Miss games, you're not going to be seeing old Whitey anymore, or the black person, or the black person that they replaced him with. It's going to be.
Where are you getting black bear? Not black person.
The black bear they replaced him with. It's going to be the land shark. Hey, and quickly.
Yes.
The. Remember the FBI agent who didn't like Donald Trump, Peter Stork? and he wrote the emails during the campaign, and he did not like Donald Trump. He just lost his job because of that. And now he's hoping to get his retirement, which would be paid for by the taxpayers.
His golden parachute.
He just set up a GoFundMe account to help cover his bills. He's looking for 150 grand. Go figure. The commercial free ride is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Earlier in the show, we told you about the guy the other night who was on the rebooted version of the, it used to be the $25,000 pyramid.
Started out as the $25,000 pyramid, then $50,000. Then I think they did, towards the end of that run with Dick Clark, I think it was the $100,000 pyramid.
But so many shows have been coming back rebooted, and we mentioned them, Murphy Brown and Roseanne, and right. Roseanne will be back next year without Roseanne, and there's right. a bunch of them. And they even brought back that game show. Well, the other night on that game show,
The great thing I like about this show is that you have a combination of the two games. You have like the match part of it, which is kind of not really that exciting. It's kind of you go through and you give clues, but the winner circle is what was always so compelling, because Dick Clark knew how to. He was a master at setting it up. We're gonna put 60 seconds on the clock. Please, they actually had straps on the chair so that the person giving the clues wouldn't use their hands, because you couldn't do that. And then Dick Clark was like, here is your first subject, go! And then you hear the dramatic, I always called that the pyramid tick. Well, a man by the name of Evan Kaufman was on the rebooted $100,000 pyramid on Sunday night and made a faux pas that we think is familiar.
Evan and Tim for $50,000. Go.
Bin Laden. Barack Obama's.
Doesn't it sound oddly familiar? Doesn't it kind of put you in the mind of, I don't know, this?
And may God bless the United States of America.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead. It was a U.S.-led strategic, Osama bin Laden is dead.
Confusing Osama's name with Obama?
It's kind of easy to do.
Osama is dead.
Obama is dead.
Details that have never before been heard about how Obama was killed.
First we had heard through the media that a missile attack had killed Obama.
We're hearing that a U.S. helicopter actually went down near the attack where Obama was killed.
It started when Obama took office. He directed the head of the CIA to make killing Obama their number one priority.
The U.S. went in, destroyed that helicopter. They didn't want the enemy getting to it. But Osama and three other people.
They got a possible lead on where Obama might be hiding.
After decades of searching and a worldwide manhunt, federal agents discovered Obama's secret location.
American operatives had learned Obama that bin Laden was hiding out.
Osama was hiding out.
The intelligence said Obama was hiding in a compound deep inside Pakistan.
You know, He was probably an old man.
You're talking about Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden, gotcha. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, did I say Obama or Osama?
So emotional to find out that, in fact, Osama bin Laden had been caught.
Coming to Washington, D.C. on the day that, you know, they take Obama out. I mean, Osama, Obama.
It was quite a weekend, wasn't it, besides that Obama finally caught last night? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, right. What did you just say?
Now, Fox, we understand our sister station are saying that Osama was buried at sea at 2 a.m. That would be 7 in the morning in the UK, that Osama was buried at sea.
Ladies and gentlemen, if Obama's dead, I don't care. What did I say? Osama bin Laden is dead. I don't care how he died.
Osama Obama.
Thanks
for clarifying all that confusion.
So, you see, you really can't blame that Ryan guy on the $100,000 pyramid when when those professional broadcasters, so many of them, made the same mistake.
Exactly. Well, look at the time.
And thank you.
That's the actor Vito Scotti, the Italian character actor Vito Scotti, who would put on glasses and play like a little Asian. And he didn't know the war was over on Gilligan's Island.
That was funny stuff.
Mm.
Thank you very much for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is next.
Ginty! It's two for Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 6 here on Bayou 95.7. And thank you.
That's the actor Vito Scotti, the Italian character actor Vito Scotti, who would put on glasses and play like a little Asian. And he didn't know the war was over on Gilligan's Island.
That was funny stuff. Mm. Thank you very much for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is next.
Ginty! It's two for Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 6 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.